The word for church in English is ecclesia. And the word ecclesia means the called out ones. It may not have the same kind of definition that you and I have of a church.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk. Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, here in the studio with author and senior pastor, Mark Job from New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, I grew up in the church. I've been around church my whole life, except for the years I was out in the world. And I really did not have a lot of passion for the church. And as I've been reading the scriptures, I've just been reinvigorated. I believe the local church is the most underrated, underestimated entity on planet Earth.
I like that. You know, the thing about the church is this, is that you look at it and you think, wow, it looks frail. It looks sometimes dysfunctional. It looks like, how is this thing going to change the world? But what I love about the church is that Jesus is the founder, and the strategy to transform the global spirituality is in one thing called the Church of the Living God.
It blows me away.
It really does. And I believe the church, if we really recapture the essence of what it is, the church needs to be about a mission. And the church is a movement of people on mission with God. And so this series, Velocity, is really about the speed at which a group of people travel towards a mission. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to look at the book of Acts and ask ourselves, all right, what we call the church right now, oftentimes people think the church, they think a building.
Yeah.
But really, the church is not a building. The church is a people on mission with God. And so we need to redefine the church, recapture the heart of the church, the compassion of a movement, the character of a movement, the power of a movement, and the call to be a movement people.
And that's what your message is about today, a call to be a movement people. I think there's a lot of us who may need to rethink what church really is as we read the scriptures. And you're taking us through the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And this message is titled, The Call to Be a Movement People.
If you drove a car this morning, you have a little round instrument on your dashboard that we call a speedometer. That dashboard instrument indicates the velocity at which your car is traveling. Now, my wife thinks that I have a problem with velocity and that I drive a little too fast. And I have gotten a few tickets in the past, but I've redeemed my ways and I'm trying to really guard the speed limit. To my credit, however, it runs a little bit in our family. My 70-year-old mother, she's 75 now, but 5 years ago when she was 70, she got a speeding ticket so bad that they took her license away for a month. And she's this sweet little old lady. She's a sweet little lady driving this little like Mini Cooper type car. I thought, Mom, how could you get a speeding ticket that they take your license away? But we know that sometimes if we go too fast, we get in trouble. And if we get to go too slow, we can get in trouble as well. Have you ever driven behind someone that's going way under the speed limit? Do you know that you can get a ticket for going too slow? And you can get a ticket for going too fast? Because there's a limit, there's a speed limit that's the ideal speed limit that gets you there at the right time, at the right place, without causing harm to anybody else. If you go too slow, you can endanger yourself and others. If you go too fast, you can endanger yourself and others. You need to go at the right speed, at the right velocity. I heard a story, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I heard a story a while back about a policeman that stopped a woman that was driving her car very, very fast. And he was surprised when he asked the person to roll down the window that it was a nun. And he said, Sister, how could you be driving the car so fast? And she looked very innocently at him and she said, Officer, I was going the speed limit. He said, No, the speed limit's 55. You were going 88. And she said, Oh, I thought the speed limit was 88. He said, No, this is Route 88. The speed limit is 55. And he looked in the back seat, and there was another sister, another nun. She was kind of curled up, shaking in a fetal position. And he said, "What's wrong with that woman?" She said, "I don't know. It started on Route 120. Sometimes we just don't understand that when we go too fast, we can get in trouble. But when we go too slow, we can always get in trouble as well. If you take your Bibles today and turn to Acts chapter 1, I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 11 of Acts chapter 1 as we talk about velocity, church on the move. And today specifically, I want to talk to you about the call to be a movement people. A movement people. There are three things that movement people engage in or understand. And let me describe what I mean by movement people. When Jesus was here on earth, Jesus started a movement that would change the world. We call it the church. The Bible actually doesn't really use the word, well, it uses the word for church in English is ecclesia. And the word ecclesia means the called out ones. And so, when you see the word church in the Bible, it may not have the same kind of definition that you and I have of a church. When we think of church, we think of a service on Sunday morning, or we think about a building that has a cross and a steeple on it, and you say, "Well, I passed a church." Or you say, "I'm going to church this morning." And we think about it as a service that happens on Sunday morning or a building that we pass. However, the biblical definition of church is not a building and it's not a Sunday morning service. The biblical definition of church is a people that's on mission with God to accomplish His assignment. Are you hearing me today? Ecclesia means a called out people. We, the church, we the people are the church. God forbid if this building were to burn down tomorrow morning, on Monday morning, there would still be a church. We wouldn't have a church building, but we'd still have a church because we the people are the church. The most important thing in this, the most important thing about the church would still be here. We the people. Turn to someone beside you and say, "You are the church." Go ahead, you are the church. I want you to understand it. You are the church. So when we talk about a church, when we talk about what Jesus started, He started a movement. Yes, He started a Jesus movement that would change the world. And I believe that God has called us all to be movement people. And I want to describe to you today what it means to be a movement people. There are three characteristics or three things that you need to understand if you're going to be a part of this movement, if you're going to be a part of a Jesus movement. Number one, movement people understand the message and the call. Number two, movement people understand the power that brings about change. And number three, movement people understand the mission to be accomplished. I'm going to take a quick look at these three things that movement people understand out of the book of Acts found in the New Testament. If you're new to your Bibles, and by the way, I know that people access their Bibles different ways. Some of you have a smartphone, some of you have an iPad, some of you have a physical Bible, but I want you to have a Bible. A couple of weeks ago, I was surprised. I said, if you don't have a Bible of any kind at your house, I'm going to give you a free Bible because I want you to have a Bible. We gave away 45 Bibles that Sunday, and I thought, wow, there's 45 people in this church that don't have Bibles. Maybe a lot of them were new, but hey, you need to have a Bible. Why? The Bible is the Word of God, and I want you to be able to access the Word of God. Amen? Okay, so this verse is found in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Acts was written by Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke is the same person. He was a physician, and he also wrote the Gospel of Luke. There are four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he also wrote the book of Acts. The Gospel of Luke is like volume one, and the book of Acts is like volume two. The book of Acts picks up where Luke leaves off. So if you want to read volume one and two together, you can read through the book of Luke and then read the book of Acts, and you'll see how the story continues. I'm picking up in the first chapter of Acts chapter 1, and I'm reading in verse 1. Luke is writing, and he says, in my former book, he's talking about the book of Luke, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Luke wrote this book to a man named Theophilus. Now, none of us know who Theophilus is. We know what his name means. His name means friend of God. Theo means God. Philius means brother, like Philadelphia, brotherly love or friendship. So it's friend of God. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, and to the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his sufferings, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. So here we go. If you're going to be a Jesus movement person and not just a religious person, you need to understand the call and the message of Jesus. There's a big difference between being a religious person and being a follower of Jesus. In fact, there's a big difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. You could go in the streets of Chicago today. You could go to 26 in California and interview most of the inmates that are there right now and ask them, do you believe in Jesus? And 90% of them would say, yes, I believe in Jesus. But there's a difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. Do you know the Bible says that even the demons believe? So you say, well, I believe in Jesus. Great, good company. The devil believes in Jesus too.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called The Call to Be a Movement People, which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's series called Velocity, Church on the Move. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message and give you some information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 13. We're focusing on verses 1 through 11 this evening. Tonight's Straight Talk is called The Call to Be a Movement People.
Believing in Jesus doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. There's a lot of people that believe in the existence of Jesus, that believe that Jesus died on a cross, that believe enough to have a cross hang from their neck or even attend a church, but it doesn't necessarily make them a follower of Jesus. If you're going to be on a movement people with Jesus, you need to really understand the message and the call. And so let me talk to you for a minute about the call. Because I believe many people believe in the existence of Jesus, but they don't understand the call of Jesus. If Jesus called the first disciples to be a movement people, some people tell me, well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've been called. I'm not sure if I have a calling on my life. Let me just clarify that up front. Everybody that's here, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're called. Everybody. There's not the called and the non-called. There's not the chosen and there's not the people that have been called and not the people that have been that haven't received a call that are followers of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have been called. Called to what, you say? Well, first of all, you're called to follow Jesus. You're first of all called to follow him. We're called to Jesus, and then Jesus gives us a mission to be on mission with Jesus. Are you tracking with me? It tells us, for example, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said to Peter and John, who were fishermen, come, what's the word there? Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. So the call was to Jesus, and then Jesus said, if you come to me, I will put you on mission with me. At once they left their nets and followed him. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 22. And Jesus told them, what's it say? Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Matthew 9, verse 9. And Jesus went from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth, and he said what? Follow me, he told them, and Matthew got up and followed him. What does Jesus say to all his disciples? Follow me. There is no such thing, which is what? That's a calling. Jesus is saying, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to follow me. Now, today we don't have a physical Jesus walking here on earth. And if someone comes up to you dressed in a white robe, long hair, and a beard, and says they're Jesus, you know they're a nutcase, needs to go to some institution, but they're not Jesus. Okay, so we got that clear. But Jesus is still calling people to follow him. So how does he call us to follow him? Well, there's not a physical Jesus walking around telling us to follow them, but we have a risen Jesus that calls us to follow him. How does he call us to follow him? He calls us to follow him by getting out of the leadership of our life and allowing him to lead our life. A follower of Jesus is a person that says, I no longer run my own life. Jesus runs my life. I don't choose where to move. I ask him where I move. I don't choose how to live. I ask him how I should live. I don't marry whoever I want. I need to ask Jesus if this is in line with his will. In other words, my life belongs to him. He's at the driver's seat of my life because he is Lord of my life and Savior of my life, and I'm a follower of his. Are you tracking with me? This is really, really important. If you believe in Jesus but don't follow Jesus, you're a religious person but not a follower of his. There's a big difference. I run into people once in a while that say, well, Pastor, I love this church. They tell me what religious background they're from, and they say, I'm not sure if I'm ready to convert to a new religion. And I always answer the same thing. I always say, I have no religion to convert you to. We're a non-denominational church. I'm not trying to convert you to a religion. I'm not trying to make you change religions. I want you to understand who God is through Jesus Christ and have a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus. I want you to be a follower of Jesus. I'm not trying to make you a Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Assembly of God. I'm not trying to convert you to any religion, but I want you to be a follower of Jesus. And when you're a follower of Jesus, religion will be less important and obedience to the Word of God will be more important. Hello. Do you know how many conversations I've had at this altar with someone that comes to me and says, Pastor, I've been attending for a month. I just want you to know. And normally in this area, they tell me, Pastor, I just want you to know I'm Catholic. I say, okay, well, 90% of the people that here were baptized Catholic. And they'll say, I'm Catholic and I really love the teaching. I really like this church, but I don't want to convert to a different religion. I'm like, okay. Great. I don't want you to convert to anything either, except I want to convert you to Jesus. And when you become a follower of Jesus, you're not going to say, hi, my name is Joe, I'm Catholic. You're going to say, hi, my name is Joe, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what you're going to say. Because the brand that you have and what your background is not going to be important. What's going to be important is, do you follow Christ and believe the word and follow his word? That's what's going to become essential to your following of Jesus. And so never let a brand of Christianity get you stuck on following Jesus. Because there are people in the Catholic Church and Methodist Church and Baptist Church and Presbyterian Church and Assembly of God Church and every brand and in the New Life Church that aren't followers of Jesus. Just because you come to church on Sunday and attend New Life doesn't mean you're a follower of Jesus. It just means that you attend church on Sundays. You say, out, Pastor. Yeah, not everybody in New Life's a follower of Jesus. I know that. Some of you are exploring Christianity. Some of you are visiting. Some of you attend but haven't crossed the line to say yes. Some of you want to be, but you're counting the cost and don't want to let go of the old and follow the new. Now, I'm glad you're here, because I know if you're here, you're going to hear me preach the word and the gospel, and I'm going to challenge you to follow Jesus. But I can't make you follow Jesus. I can't save you. I can't convert you. I can't make you be born again. That's a choice that you have to make, a decision that you have to choose, a faith step that you have to make that neither me nor anybody else can make you take. It's something that you have to choose and take on your own to be a follower of Christ. But I know that this, that everybody that's a follower of Jesus is called to himself and then sent on mission. The second thing I want you to understand under this is that Jesus calls every disciple to be movement people. Not only did he call his disciples to follow him, he calls us. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross." And there it goes again. And what? "And follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it." What Jesus was saying is that whoever wants to be his disciple, his disciple is an apprentice, a follower of Jesus, has to deny themselves. You see, here's what it means to deny themselves. To deny yourself means that you no longer run your life. To deny yourself means that you used to run your life. You used to make your decisions. You used to do what you wanted to do. But since you become a follower of Jesus, now you say no to some of the stuff that you in your old way wanted to do. And now your life belongs to God. And so you say yes to God and no to the old self. What Christianity is not, and let me emphasize, is not you living your life asking God to help you live your life better. It's not you making your own decisions and asking God to bless them. It's not you doing whatever you want and saying, "At least I have some connections upstairs." No, that's not Christianity. Christianity is I follow God. Even when God's way is harder, more difficult, I follow God's way. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You are not leading, asking God to help you. You are following God, asking God to give you the power to help you follow him. Are you tracking with me? There's a big difference. So anybody that's going to follow Jesus must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." There we go again. It's the word follow him. So a disciple of Jesus, a movement person, must understand the call and must understand the message. Notice what it says at the end of verse 3 in Acts chapter 1. It says that after Jesus had died and suffered and rose again, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. I want you to hear me well. Track with me. I'm teaching you this morning, so I want you to have your Bibles. I want you to learn. I want you to take notes. You need to review some of this. When Jesus Christ was crucified, he spent 3 days in the grave. On the third day, he rose again. He wasn't in a coma. He wasn't half dead. He had been stabbed. He had been certified as dead. He was dead. He supernaturally rose again on the third day. When he rose from the grave, he spent 40 more days here on earth. Hundreds of people saw him, talked with him, ate with him. And after 40 days on earth, something supernatural and miraculous happened. When he was with his disciples, the Bible says that Jesus levitated, and as they watched him, he disappeared into the clouds. It's called the ascension of Jesus.
Well, this concludes the first half of part one, the call to be a movement people, which is from our brand new series called Velocity, Church on the Move. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, I'd like to give you some information on Straight Talk. Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And if you've enjoyed tonight's message, we invite you to download it for free at Pastor Mark's website, www.pastormarkjobe.com. That's pastormarkjobe.com. There you can also find out more about Pastor Mark, the New Life Community Church ministry, and all of our locations throughout Chicago. If you prefer to have a CD of our message, just call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300, and we can send it out for just $5 plus shipping. Please do tell a friend about our Straight Talk program as well. We hope that you enjoyed tonight's broadcast, and we thank you for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.